الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, we are talking about seeing the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all that we see and do and experience. And this is the whole purpose of Islam, is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and to worship Him and try to worship Him in keeping with His glory and majesty. And I was talking to you about the importance of agriculture in this. Yesterday we looked at one aspect of it, today we look at another aspect of it, which is the aspect of tawakkul. Agriculture is probably in agriculture I'm including what we normally call animal husbandry. So it's not only plants, but plants and animals. So if you are doing farming of any kind, whether it's mixed farming with plants and animals or just plants, if there is anything or any occupation in the world which teaches tawakkul, it is agriculture. The only other thing which I believe teaches tawakkul is probably more than agriculture is fishing. But other than that, it is agriculture which teaches us tawakkul more than anything else. Now, how is that? First part, when the farmer plants the seed, right? The seed goes into the ground. So the farmer has, like I said yesterday, he took all precautions. He did whatever he is supposed to do. He planted, he prepared the soil and so on and so forth. But after he plants the seed, until the seed germinates, he has no way of knowing what is happening to that seed. There's no way. He can't dig up the seed to see what's happening to it. It'll die. There's no X-ray system under the ground to see what's happening to the seeds. So no matter what, whether the planter accepts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether he worships Allah, or whether he's an atheist or what, the same thing for everyone. Once you plant the seed, it's done. And then you wait until the seed sprouts and until the plumule comes out of the shoot comes out of the ground, right? Now, this is something which teaches tawakkul for two reasons. Firstly, because you can't see what is happening, so you have to wait. And the one who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes dua for benefit and for a good crop. The second one is it also teaches you what I call organic time. Organic time is the necessary time required for the completion of a process. You cannot hurry that. The same thing applies to seeds, same thing applies to, and that's why I included animal husbandry in this, same thing applies to gestation period of animals, and the same thing applies to the hatching time of eggs. A chicken, for example, the egg takes 21 days to hatch, 3 weeks. Now you can't say, well, I'm in a hurry, so I'm going to put the egg into the oven and, you know, jack up the heat, and you will get a cooked egg. I mean, it will not be, there won't be any life in it. The egg, you get a baked egg. Same thing with animals. If there is a gestation period for a particular animal, that's how long it takes for the baby to be born. You can't hurry the process up. So also with plants. So once you plant the seed, whatever time it is supposed to take to germinate, it germinates. Now all of this period, so two things. Now how is this related to life itself and why am I talking about this? First of all, this is tawakkul, so we learn to trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, organic period is a very good process, a very good concept to think about and understand. In our life itself, for things to happen, for maturity periods of things. So if there is a business, it takes that much of time. There is an organic time for it to develop and mature. If you are talking about convincing somebody, if you are talking about in terms of selling skills or in terms of negotiating skills, many times, instead of going hammer and tongs behind somebody to accept something. It is much more productive and much more powerful to seed an idea and leave it. Right? Now that takes a lot of patience and it takes tawakkul, because you have seeded the idea, you don't know what's happening to the idea in the mind of the person. But if you go behind it and if you start doing, hard selling, you will find many times that you will fail, because your hard selling actually raises suspicion in the mind of the person. It does not give him comfort, because he's not used to the idea. It's a new thing. He's trying to grapple with it. Now you are trying to force it down his throat. So he gets suspicious. The actual thing that starts, and many times this is a unconscious process, the person becomes suspicious. Why is he pushing it so much? Something must be wrong. You know, it's okay, you told me, why are you telling me 10 times? So it is much more productive to seed the idea and leave it, and then trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the organic time is also part of that. Organic time in terms of organization processes also is, in consulting, for example, one of the most, one of my most, important learnings in life in consulting is that clients and business takes time to mature. So once you have given a proposal, I never ever call the client back again and say, what happened to the proposal? I never do it. And this is against, all the wisdom that is taught in business schools. They say always you must follow up. I say, no, not in consulting, you should not follow up. You have given a proposal, leave it. When the client wants to come back to you, we'll come back to you. I have had cases where clients have come back after 12 months. Can you believe it? You give a proposal after 12 months. That's more than that's almost like the gestation period of an elephant. So but it takes that time. You see, the client has to get used to the idea, what you have said. Sometimes it is necessary, and this is also an important lesson in the raising of children. Sometimes it is necessary for a person to go through pain to understand. Like, for example, this is not the reason to pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid, but you pray for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who sleeps through the morning salah, Allah will never give him wealth, and he'll never give him, he will never expand his risk. It will actually contract and constrict his risk. So now you have somebody who wants, I want some wealth, I want some money, I want my business to grow, whatever it is, and then you find you are not praying Salatul Fajr in the masjid. So what to do? So one is to tell them 10 times, but you tell them once, after that let them suffer, then only they will understand. Once they suffer enough, then maybe the penny will drop. So sometimes that gestation period is important. So in farming, in agriculture, you understand this. Second part of it is, I don't know how many of you have seen it, but all of these things you should see. Go to an agricultural area, any agricultural area, go to a place in the summer, at the end of summer, go just before the monsoon, and you will find the field is dry to the point that the soil is cracked. It's like sometimes very interesting patterns as sort of abstract art. It's all completely cracked. So the ground looks, it is solid, it's like rock, and it is cracked. There is not a blade of grass to be seen, because everything is burnt off. We have got heat. When I'm speaking to you about this, I recall a field I saw in the Tirunelveli district in Tamil Nadu. Temperatures go up to registered temperatures around 49, 48 degrees. So God knows what the actual temperature is. But so completely dry, like a bone. You will look at this thing and say, this is a desert. There is nothing can ever grow in this. But if you go into the house of the farmer, and I'm talking about our Indian farmers, the house is not a house. It's a mud hut with a grass roof, right? So it's a, you call it a house, but what else do you call it? If you go in there, you will find that in the corner somewhere, placed on a couple of stones with a plank on it, so it doesn't touch the ground, will be half a sack of grain, right? Will be one sack of grain. Now you ask the farmer, usually if you go there, you will find his wife or you will find some children. You ask them, where is your father? He says, father has gone to work. Where? He's gone to the city, wherever it is, and he's working in some construction site or something as a manual labor. So why has he gone there? So because we have to eat. So he's gone to earn some money, so we eat. So you ask them, what about that grain? You got a sack of grain there. Why don't you eat it? Why must you go and slog on some construction site? Why don't you eat the grain? If you ask the farmer this question, what will he tell you? He will tell you that you don't know farming. He will tell you that you do not know farming. He will tell you that that grain is not to eat. That grain is my seed. If I plant that grain, I eat for the whole year. If I eat that grain, I eat it until that grain is finished. That's it. So now I'm a bit hungry. I'm doing some other work. I'm suffering a little bit. But that is in anticipation for what will happen. Then the rain comes. When the rain comes, this dry soil becomes mud. Then what do you see? The farmer will leave. That's where all the construction sites, all the workers vanish because they've all gone to the fields. So he will come back here. He will plough that land. And then you will see a strange thing. Here is a man. He's got good grain to eat. When he should have eaten the grain, he did not eat the grain. Now he is taking the grain and throwing it into the mud. Yeah? Somebody who does not understand agriculture. Well, what's he going to see? If he doesn't understand agriculture, if you just take a picture of this, what will he say? He'll say, this man is mad. Good food, which is grain to eat, he is throwing it into the mud. But if you ask anyone who understands agriculture, what will he tell you? He said, no, he's not throwing it into the mud. He's planting the seed. There is a difference between throwing it into the mud and planting the seed. He's planting the seed. Why is he planting the seed? So that he will eat for the rest of the year and his whole family also will eat for the rest of the year. Plus, he will make some money because the seed. Now, tawakkul, what do you understand from this? We understand from this is what we have in our hand is the seed. What we have in our hand is the seed. As long as you keep your hand closed, that is all you will have. If you open your hand and throw that seed into the ground, that becomes your harvest. The worst harvest is more than the best seed. Yeah? Seed is never lost. I mean, if you plant one sack of seed, at least you will get one sack or two sacks back from the field. It's not a good harvest, it's a bad harvest, but still, it's more than what you had. And usually it is far, far, far more. So what you have in your hand is the seed. What you plant becomes your harvest. You cannot plant until you open your hands. If you keep your hands shut, that is all that you will have. If you open your hands and if you leave what you have, then your hands are open to receive more. Link it back to the deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when times are hard, give sadaqah. Yeah? Does this make sense? Times are already hard. Already I have no money. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, give sadaqah. Aray, give sadaqah. You tell somebody who has money, surplus stuff, give sadaqah. It makes sense. I already don't have money. I'm already suffering. I'm already having hardship. He's saying, give sadaqah. To understand this, you have to understand agriculture. What is he saying? He is saying to that farmer who has no money, who has got no food, plant that seed. Give sadaqah. Plant that seed. Don't hang on to that seed. Don't eat that seed. Plant the seed. Then Allah will give you a harvest. Then your whole house will get filled with grain, not only one sack. This is what agriculture teaches us. To have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to plant your seed, to make dua for rain, wait for the gestation period, wait for the organic period to complete, have faith that it will germinate because only Allah can make it germinate, you can't do anything about that. Then look after the crop, protect the crop, as I said yesterday, all of this is part of your job, and then harvest. And the harvest, inshallah, will be far more than what you give. So in life, what Allah has given us, keep planting. The more you plant, the bigger harvest you get. So in life also, you will find two kinds of people. Those who hang on to what they have. I have this much, bakhil, you know, they won't spend, they won't give sadaqat. They won't invest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, we talked about this some time back, so I won't repeat it. But they won't invest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They hang on to what they have. That's all they will have. And that also depreciates. Like seed, seed goes bad over time. Money depreciates. So actual value of the money is lower than what you had in the first place. I mean, count is the same. You say 1 lakh rupees, but the 1 lakh rupees buys you far less than what it bought at the time when you were accumulating it. So, but if you plant it, if you keep on spending it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not talking about spending it in useless things. With that same seed, you go and throw it on the road, nothing will happen. The planter knows where to plant. So where do you invest? You invest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. You do what is required, you have this tawakkul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives you a harvest, and in this case, the harvest is in this dunya wal akhirah, insha'Allah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.